From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You think I'm some dummy off the street? Yeah, my era is everything. I cover all eras. My nickname, Mr. Era.
Jeff Lutz.
I've been around for 34 years. Longer than most people.
34 years to me is, that happened yesterday. Not in your lifetime.
There's no alternate history where that could have been achieved.
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
Woo-hoo! Good afternoon and welcome. It is Bob and Jeff on KFH. Bob not here, needs two people to replace him. Two very noisy people who can't figure out how to sit in chairs. To my right, wearing his Tennessee colors proudly, after the Volunteers take home the College World Series Baseball National Championship with blue shorts and glasses, it's Mike Furches.
Hey, yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, but I wear Tennessee stuff all the time. Either Tennessee or East Tennessee State, and on occasion Wichita State, but those are the three teams. I don't wear Tulsa so much anymore. But
why would you ever wear Tulsa? See, that's...
Well, I was talking earlier. I've always supported the team of the town I live in. And I don't live in Lawrence. I don't live in Manhattan. I live in Wichita, so I support Wichita State. But my roots run deep. I was never good enough to play at Tennessee. I have a nephew that did, and a number of high school teammates that did real well playing at Tennessee. But you cannot grow up 100 miles from Knoxville.
Are you
going
to let me introduce the other?
Yeah, go ahead. He's worth it. He don't squeak as much as I did. Don't ask me a question if you don't want the answer.
Did I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was it?
We're missing the star of the show. Where's Bob?
That's a good question. Where is Bob? We could use Bob right now. To Mike's right is David Michael Hahn, girl dad, is what your shirt it says today.
Do you know who?
As those on the webcast could see probably clearly.
Those watching the David webcast, do you know who the characters are?
Ren and Stimpy.
Bluey.
Bluey?
Yeah.
Did they not do? They kind of look Ren and Stimpy-ish.
Not really, but kind of.
In
the slightest. But I am a girl dad, and don't tell Mike that I switched chairs before he got here.
You're a girl dad and a boy dad.
That's true. I got the shirt when I was just a girl dad.
Mike is a girl dad and a boy dad.
Yeah, I'm a girl dad and a boy dad and an adoptive dad, and I have dog children as well.
I hate to be distracted, but breaking news came down before we went on the show. The Guardians and Matthew Boyd have agreed to a major league deal. So,
is that really breaking?
It broke.
For you.
You don't have to. Maybe it's not news.
Well, I heard
it
you,
might not be news, but it was. It did break.
It did break.
I heard you like praying and thanking God and everything over a few minutes ago under your breath while they're whispering it
what
out.
What are you talking about?
You announced it to yourself.
See,
you're so excited.
He didn't even acknowledge you when you got here. He was over there.
No,
the Guardians. Thank you.
I don't acknowledge people before we go on a show together. You're over here telling every story in the book. I think that's material we could use on this show.
Well, we
now
can.
I feel like I've heard it all.
Well, okay. Well, I'll make something up.
But I'm not sure how lightly or not to tread with Mike Furches, because everything out there.
You talk, you and your
but
dad.
You type it out, but do you want to talk it out? Is that the same thing?
I don't mind, because I have this crazy thing in my life that I really appreciate when people think I can say something or, you know, do something that helps them out. And I think being an open book encourages people to say, well, shoot, I'm not as bad as that.
Or and I'm going really that same thing, and I'm not alone. I mean, it's definitely helpful.
Yeah.
If that's the way to amplify your own voice and bring some positivity to people.
But you've become a voice of, man. I saw some comments the other day that you had on Wichita Eagle Forum.
What's your point?
What do you think I'm the voice of? You're getting vicious out there. It's like Jeff's ready to tear him off and go at it. Let's give him some gloves.
How was I vicious?
I think you called the guy dumb.
Well, if he was being dumb, I mean, I'm allowed to call him dumb. Is that not?
Well, that was the word after the word dumb.
No, I didn't say any.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I did not. You're making that up. I would not drop three-letter bombs on a public Wichita Eagle comment. Well, I wouldn't do it.
What was the – I'm trying to remember what the discussion was about. But boy,
hatred of people. I mean, that's if – that's all going to get me going.
I really admire you for your stance on the quality for all people.
Why is that – why would that be admired? I don't understand.
Because you don't see it all the time. Good Lord, open up Facebook. Anybody
yeah,
open
I know,
up Facebook.
But those people should be reviled. That doesn't necessarily mean someone.
That one dude you reviled pretty good.
Oh, well, yeah.
Dropping three-letter words.
I don't think so. Did I put stars in them?
Well,
did I make it like a dollar sign?
No. I think the word only has three letters. But
That's what I'm saying. Was it $$$?
It was actually me. It's my burner account.
There you go. See, I can see
it's
you doing
sock
that.
Puppet.
It's
your
exactly.
sock
puppet.
I'm a little
account.
Bit more outwardly angry than most.
Are you still off Twitter?
Good God. This question comes up three times a week.
Well, I'm glad to be a part of it.
I don't have a personal Twitter account. I have an account on which I follow the Guardians and participate in some Cleveland Guardians discussions.
Is that where you got the breaking news?
Yes.
Wow.
That Matthew Boyd is now a member of your Cleveland Guardians.
Did you turn off the alarm that gives an update every time something happens with Cleveland?
No, I don't have notifications. I hate getting notifications on my phone. The only notifications I get are when someone calls me and when my alarm goes off.
Not texts?
I don't get a notification. I just get the symbol in the corner.
Really? You text back so fast.
Yeah, I'm usually holding my phone because I'm a degenerate moron who goes after people on Facebook.
That's fair.
I don't get the actual notification that drops into the screen, you know.
We should let the people know that the greatest group chat of all time is sitting right here.
We have not participated in that group chat.
We did it once. Yeah, the one time we opened it up.
What would be our group chat like theme? Because with my not really extended family, but my Ohio family and my little family here, we have a daily where we share our Wordle scores and our connection scores. Sometimes I do the New York Times mini crossword. Sometimes I do the big crossword, the New York Times crossword. I'm proud, although Mondays are very easy. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm beyond a reasonable amount of intelligence.
So the dollar tree.
What would our theme be? What would we share daily with each other that would improve each other's lives? And David, I'm going to go to you first on that one.
Probably, I'd say facial hair.
Would it be like motivational?
I don't know about
we
you.
Could be the poster
you
channel.
And I could talk about it.
Yeah.
I think daily motivation will be nice. I think that, we sometimes are grumpy in our own rights. And I think just bonding together as men to daily motivate each other to get up and get after it would be great.
Do you really want to get up and get after it every day? Like, does thinking about getting up and getting after it, Mike, does that motivate you? I feel like not getting up and getting after it would motivate me. You know, like, I don't have to do anything today. That's awesome. Let's get it.
Well, I'm not surprised. But
wow.
Speaking of vicious, my goodness gracious. The last couple of weeks has been rough because I'm taking some medication that causes me to sleep. And I'm one of these guys, I'd rather be up at 4:30 out duck hunting or walking the fields and hunting geese or something. But yeah, I'm let's get up and get early, you know. That's another little known fact, people. I love to hunt. When I was a kid, as a city boy growing up and then living on a farm and getting to hunt. I never killed anything I didn't eat.
That's good.
Yeah.
So. I've never eaten anything I didn't kill. Does that work also?
I was foot to pavement at 4:15 AM this morning.
Really?
On a walk.
That's impressive.
Yep, back then I worked.
Right around the neighborhood.
I went around the neighborhood, got back, worked for a little bit.
See anybody outside that you waved to, or were you kind of the only guy?
I saw one car heading into wherever they were heading in. Other than that, it was pretty
quiet.
No
other walkers?
No.
Yeah, that's a nice little peaceful and serene time for you.
It was great. It was fantastic.
Got tons of walkers in my neighborhood. I love getting up. And nothing beats doing it early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
If I could convince my wife. Sheila, if you're listening, any agreement here that it's better to walk in the morning than the evening?
Absolutely.
I mean, for just your metabolism and everything else, and you feel good.
I technically went on three walks this morning.
Wow.
And I saw a lot of people on my second two walks.
I did one. I did one walk this morning. I usually go around the parking lot at Channel 12 one or two times. Today, just once. It's a decent walk.
What time did you get in this morning?
Early.
Define early.
I don't know who's listening.
Okay, that's fair. It was 3 a.m., obviously.
Yeah, it could be or it could have not been.
Yeah, of course.
one of those times. Mike, update us on your health. Because
I'm an open book.
Because we want to know, and we're going to exploit you at all costs. Yeah. That's why we're doing this.
I don't know. You know, for those that follow me on Facebook and stuff, and I had a scare where I had to go to the emergency room, and they had real issues. They could not get my blood pressure down. That was one of the scariest things. But then they did CTs and MRIs, and I had to do some biopsies, and I find out about that probably next week. So. A little concerning, but I'm still cracking jokes, having a good time, and enjoying the company of my wife. So
and I love being here. You're hanging in there.
I'm not going to not hang in there.
This guy hangs.
No, he hangs. He's tough.
I'm gonna have fun and enjoy life. Life has sucked too much in the past that, despite all the vitriol that I see on Facebook and social media, I'm not. I'm not going to give in to it. I mean, there's a time and a place for Ecclesiastes and the old bird song. There's a time and a place for everything, but not constant and always. So we'll try to be a bit of light in a dark world.
Well, we're going to keep you continuing to appear on this show.
Good.
We're going to keep checking in with you. I realized today I felt awful. I went to text you, I guess it was last night. About being on the show, and I had a text to you typed out that I didn't send. It said, "How are you feeling?" And I'm like, "Mike never texted me back about how he's feeling." Oh, that's because I didn't send the text. That's going to happen sometimes. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, it happens all the time. And I've got some texts that I've sent before I should have proofread.
Do you think I should have sent that text, "How are you feeling?" and then immediately went into, "Can you do the show tomorrow?"
I wouldn't have thought anything about it.
All right.
I was at the movie anyway, so it was late before I saw it. So,
and by the way, I'll set up the show, but Dave, how's your health?
My health's
good. As
far
as you know.
As far as I know, my health's fine.
You're doing okay.
A little overweight, I suppose, but that's why I'm trying to get up at early and walk. Do some calisthenics.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean.
You guys just remember what Fernando said.
Fernando Valenzuela?
Fernando Lamas.
And it's better to
we don't need no stinking badges.
Saludos, till we meet again.
You missed it.
Go play it again, because I was talking over it, apparently.
I thought you was listening to ABBA or something when you talk about Fernando.
That's what I thought, actually. The best ABBA song, Fight Me, on
all time, yeah.
Apparently there are at least three different...
Fernando.
What did he say? I didn't
good
even hear
advice.
It.
Here he is.
And it's better to look good than to feel good. So
Better to look good than to feel good. I guess I could not agree with that, but you never know. I'm going to set up the show today. You guys ready?
Is it going to be about ABBA?
It might be. I mean, I can write that down.
Write down ABBA on that,
I have
please.
A list of topics. Do you guys want to talk ABBA real quick? Do you have anything to say?
Give us the list rundown. We'll bring it back.
At 2:45, Mike's regular segment on pop culture, we're going to do that.
Oh, man, I didn't know I was going to do that. It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you're here.
I have to make something up. That's good. Okay.
No,
we got a half hour.
You've watched some movies.
Yeah. I'm good.
You've watched a little television, haven't you?
Yeah.
We're going to get into maybe some television before your pop culture segment.
Okay.
Maybe your pop culture segment... It won't be about pop culture.
Maybe it's about a television show that Jason Duda and Jeff Lutz just loved.
Oh, man, we have to talk about that right now, can we?
I couldn't even tell you what the name is. So
you haven't watched Shoresy. I haven't shared Shoresy with you. I don't know if you've watched Shoresy.
There you go. There's a theme. We throw in names of songs. You're a fortunate son.
So you have now.
It's okay.
Have you watched Shoresy?
Yeah, I watched. I told you I would. I've never
How much
told
have you
watched? I watched first episode so far.
That's it?
That's all I can
and
tolerate.
And all you can say is it's okay? Like, what's the deal? What's going on?
Well, I just went through this procedure that I don't even know if I was consciously
cares about
aware.
That.
Yeah, but I don't even know if I was consciously aware when I saw it. So I'll go back and watch it again, but I did watch it.
Good.
Can you tell me what it's about?
The plot at the beginning is...
No spoilers.
It evolves. It evolves quite a bit. But the plot at the beginning is that there's a senior league Canadian hockey team that has continued to lose. and they're about to fold the team, and the captain, the person who becomes the captain of the team, the namesake of the show, Shorzy, says, okay, we'll never lose again. We're never going to lose a game again. And
if they lose again, there's consequences.
It starts from there, and it evolves. That's not the plot for every episode. That's not the plot for season two. That's not the plot for season three. But that's where the show begins. And I'll tell you this. It's very vulgar.
Nice.
But it's not sophomoric vulgar for its own sake.
Mm.
They...
Shucks.
They are in on the joke.
Darn it.
They are in on the joke.
Okay.
Okay.
It takes itself seriously.
The first episode.
If that makes sense.
Imagine the game of soccer. And a coach comes in.
Or you could just
Wichita
imagine
State.
The game of hockey.
Well, I know, but it reminds me. It reminds me of a popular show that involves soccer and the coach turning the team around. That's what I got from the first episode.
Got it. Which is a very good show.
It's a great show.
That's
a great
show. You got Ted Lasso show. From that?
Yes.
It is not like Ted Lasso.
Well, that's the impression I got from the first episode.
Did he see the first season, first episode, or
yes,
is he on this season?
I'm on the first season, first episode.
Shorzy's great. I'm sorry.
Have you watched season three, Max?
No, I haven't got season
three. Oh, my God. It's so good.
It sounds like a show perfectly written for you.
No, I'm not a sophomoric humor guy. I'm not.
You said it's not sophomoric humor.
It is, but it's intentional. It's on purpose.
Got it.
Because it's just the atmosphere. You don't have to. It's all said, like I would say, something sophomoric.
On Facebook?
No, like those things are serious. The mean things, I mean. But the sophomoric things are said for effect, right?
Yeah.
They don't really mean anything. And I try to explain that to people all the time. When I'm just going off and popping off, none of that ever means anything. I'm just looking for
a
reaction.
It does to the author that's putting it on paper.
But it shouldn't. When you're watching Shorzy and you hear vulgar and crude and that type of humor, that's not something you should necessarily take personally or seriously or offensively.
It's just a representation of the story and the characters in the story to some extent. Yeah.
But season three.
But it seems like in real life we get so ticked off when people do that and because they don't understand it. I could go into a long spill there, but I'll be quiet.
Season three makes me think that television could end right now, and we've seen the peak.
Is that good?
Well, I need to get to season three.
I guess I'll have to watch it now.
You have to. I think you should.
It's on what?
It's on Hulu.
I have Hulu.
You have Hulu.
I got Hulu.
There's 6 20-minute episodes a season. You could be done with this by the weekend.
Well, you don't know my life that well.
Well, I know you have kids and you do things, but who cares?
I was up at 4:15.
Yeah,
foot
you
could have
been watching Shorzy.
I could have been.
Is it going to hold my attention like the 47 spinoffs of The Walking Dead?
If it doesn't, I would be surprised.
You like those?
I love them.
I would be surprised if it doesn't because the dialogue's so good, the character development is so good,
like
the acting is so good, the writing is so good. There's no weaknesses to the show. That's why we talk about it all the time. We're not just going to come in and talk about some show that stinks.
How are the special effects like if they get in a fight? I figure it's a hockey game. There's going to be a fight someplace.
Well, most of them, or a lot of them, are ex-hockey players. And they're we talked to Bruce Ramsey the other day, the head coach of the Wichita Thunder, and he said he got in a fight with one of the characters on the show, the actors who played hockey. They got in a fight. A couple of the guys played in the NHL. One of the guys was a first-round pick in the NHL. So it's real hockey. Everything's great.
It reminds another team that does another sport, but I'm learning to like these guys. It kind of reminds me of the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about them.
It's not a gimmick thing. I mean, you're going off into places that I'm not comfortable.
They're really playing
against Ted Lasso, I don't see that. And I don't see whatever it was, Savannah Bananas.
You're the one that sent me the text at 4 a.m.
What are you talking about? Did I? Why do you make stuff up, Mike?
It's out there now. Can't take it back.
I don't think I did I?
Will I be able to convince
my... He's actually looking to see if he did.
I know.
I'm not happy with you.
Will I be able to convince my wife, who does not care for sports, let alone hockey, to watch this show?
My wife loves it, and she could care less about hockey.
Could she care less or not care less?
It's a turn of a phrase.
Oh, okay.
Like, I could give a crap. You know what I'm saying?
I could
care less about that.
I think it's I couldn't care less.
No, it can be I could care less also.
Well,
it's a colloquialism.
So you, there's
it's not,
even
it's
more
not meant
caring.
To be taken literally. It's like I could give a blank. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
so this is motivated.
I couldn't, but it's like, who cares? It means that.
So this has motivated you to watch that movie that Duda has been recommending.
Slapshot? Yeah, I've watched it multiple times, and I ask me anything about it.
And so it was worth it.
Yeah, give me a quiz about Slapshot. I'll tell you anything about it.
I'm proud of you.
Who's the main actor in Slapshot?
You're asking the main actor in Slapshot?
Are you Googling it?
I'm not looking it up. It's obviously Paul Newman, who plays Reggie Dunlop.
He definitely looked it up.
David Hansen's in the movie.
Yeah, that's the IMDb page suddenly pops up on
the
screen.
No, there's no IMDb.
He promised Duda and I like a year or two ago that he would watch Slapshot.
Except,
and he's yet to see
why it. Would I need to watch Slapshot when I could watch Shoresy?
It's a different.
What else are we talking about today?
Anything? Anything you want?
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, we've got the executive director of Cowtown. They have a 4th of July event coming up. We're not necessarily advertising that. We could talk about it, and we could talk about Cowtown and its history in Wichita and what it means to our community, because Dave and Michael Hunt over there does a Wichita-centric podcast. Have you discussed Cowtown very often on that show?
We've mentioned it a handful of times. I think mostly on the Is Wichita Haunted episode, because apparently Cowtown is haunted.
Hey, I got some haunted stories I can tell you, including my house.
I'm not ready for this. My constitution's not ready.
It's not ready.
I'm just nervous about the haunts. No. But we'll talk.
We can talk.
Yeah.
We can talk off air sometime.
And at 3:25, we have a game.
I'm ready for the game. You are in the worst chair.
You're not really ready for the game. What is going on with
Mike's
that
up.
Chair?
He's mobile. He has gone mobile, folks.
We'll get you a new chair.
Oh, I like standing up.
Obviously,
you.
We have
I might stand
top
too.
Of the line equipment in this studio.
I'm up. We're up.
All right, you guys look great. We're going to take a break, though, right now. You guys just figure that out during the break. Hopefully, when we come back, you'll have it settled. Stay with us. It's Bob and Jeff, David Michael Hahn, Michael Furches, and we'll be right back.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
So David Michael Hahn, we talked about Mike Furches's use of social media and what he gets out of it. You, every time I go on, what are you doing?
Flexing.
Every time I
look at Max. Look at Max. Jeez.
Anything here? Nothing?
No, there's nothing
I'm
there.
Extremely strong. How do you like to use social media? Because every time I log into Facebook, it says David Michael Hahn has updated his story. Are you updating your story that much? Or is it just because I'm not opening them that that it's maybe telling me more times than one?
Well, you and I interact enough on social media that I think it probably populates me on kind
of
your top friends.
Yeah,
so that probably helps. I primarily use social media, at least Instagram and Facebook. I do post on my story probably every other day, just kind of little snippets of my life with my kids.
You like family life.
Mostly family life or smoking meat.
Personal life.
Right.
I think there's I might be in that generational divide or generational gap between you two. I share some stuff. I mean, I don't know. You guys share a lot, but it's different for you. Michael shares a lot. David Michael Hahn shares a lot. Michael Hahn,
a lot
you guys
happening right
Mike's
now. Yeah,
here.
Well,
Max, Mike, David, Michael, it's just too many. You share a lot about family. You share a lot about personal stuff and opinions. I share some opinions. I don't know. It's just, are we oversharing?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I only probably post on, I usually post pictures on Instagram that then flow to my Facebook. I post outside of my story, I post once a month, if that. It's mostly just, wishing somebody in my family a happy birthday or just musings about life. I like to try to get kind of deep and personal about my family and my relationship
with my
wife and my kids.
So. I haven't done that as much
and
recently.
That opens up doors for conversation.
Yeah.
Big time. So I think what people forget or they don't know, I think it's probably that they don't know, I started on Facebook and social media as a vocation. And I know that sounds crazy, but
you were trying to get some of your work out there? Or?
Yeah, well, I was working with Hollywood Jesus, and at the time we realized that there were people that were making decisions related to faith. We were the official discussion site for the Da Vinci Code and the official leak site. People don't understand these major studios leak information. We were the official leak site for the movie The Passion of the Christ. And those were big.
What kind of things were leaked about that movie at the time?
About
the story.
Maybe things that Mel Gibson had done, the direction of the story. But no, there were parts of it before it came out that people didn't know, that it was going to be in Aramaic and things of that nature, all those kind of things. But the intent, we saw people that were making decisions, and they were just left there. And so George Barna, who is a famous researcher, if there's any Christian researchers or pastors, they will know who George Barna is, one of the top researchers in the world. He helped give some ideas for how we could go on social media, be involved in conversation, and yet find ways to open up doors to talk to people. So, and I hate to say this, but for full disclosure, I make a little bit of money from that.
Okay, still?
Yes.
Nice, good job.
But with the settings at Facebook now, with stories, stories and reels, you can make money.
Yeah.
You can?
You absolutely can.
I
have a great idea.
Do you have a money-making scheme?
Well, I have my big all of Dave.
You make money now.
I make money not via social media. Well, podcasting I do, I guess.
You make a little money?
On podcasting I do, yeah.
That's impressive. You think I can make money doing stuff?
Probably. Yes. It's not that hard.
What do you think I could do that would make money?
Have a radio show?
I do that.
Okay.
On reels or stories or...
I mean, you were talking about how you know so much about baseball, you can't even listen to baseball content. Why don't you do a baseball podcast?
No, I didn't say that.
That's not what came out of my mouth.
You're very knowledgeable related to baseball, specifically the Guardians.
Yeah.
I said I'm not going to consume a lot of baseball information unless I feel like I'm going to learn something. But I do consume a lot of baseball information because I'm always learning, and I'm still learning, and I want to continue to learn because it's something I love.
If you could find a way to do a one-minute reel about baseball, you'd get followers, and you'd be making some money.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a great idea for – I'll take guys off air. I have a great idea. I'm working on it. It's coming on my new social media that I think could potentially build some followers. We'll see what you guys think. But you and I talked about doing a podcast together.
We did.
The History of Whatever.
Exactly. That sounds like an amazing podcast.
Yeah, well,
I could do a reel on the history of whatever.
Yeah.
1 minute on anything.
Yeah. We could still probably do it at some point.
If you make it good as Snoop Dogg does his, you'll be making some big bucks.
Yeah. What does Snoop Dogg do?
Oh, God. He does nature videos and everything. If you've never seen him, you need to go back and check him out. They are hilarious.
Now, Snoop Dogg, for you, Jeff, that don't know, he started as kind of a rapper.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought he was mostly a philanthropist.
And now he is.
Or a philanderer.
Right. And he does nature shows. Right.
Well, good. He started, what, can you name any of his big hits?
I like Drop It Like It's Hot.
Did you know even before that he was an actual, like, real rapper that was good?
Oh, yeah? Can you name any of those hits?
Gin and Juice?
Oh, I love Gin and Juice by the Gourds.
What are you talking about?
You've never heard the Gourds
Murder
cover
Was the Case?
Gin and Juice?
Have you heard the... I can't say that out loud. His first album? I can't say the name of it, but you know what it is. It's got Ain't No Fun on there. It's got Doggy Dog World on there. It's a great album.
Great
Mike,
album.
You can speak to this, can't you?
Yeah.
Do you like rap?
I like legit rap. I don't like what I would call pop rap. Mm-hmm. But go back to the days of Tupac. I think even you go back to, even older than that to some extent. There's Public Enemy. There's some really good.
Who's pop rap in your opinion?
Anything on right now?
Yeah.
What do you call that?
On
pop
the radio,
rap?
At least.
Yeah.
Or is rap just become so mainstream that it's just pop now?
I call it mumble rap.
Yeah. Joe Johnny grows up in an established neighborhood with an established family that makes a lot of money and thinks he can rap, and he's not really lived the story. There is something to living that life. I like Eminem for that reason. I mean, he grew up in 8 Mile, and
yeah.
If you've ever been to 8 Mile, it's not the place that most people want to grow up. And then the emotion and the tunes that come out of that, and Snoop's kind of the same way too. Although he has progressed to more, I don't know. I like Snoop.
He's hard to not like.
He is. He's so funny.
He is funny.
Well, he's a character. He's absolutely fantastic.
He's reinvented
himself so many times that it's impossible not to continue to like what he puts out there.
His commentary on Mike Tyson and Roy Jones is one of the most classic sports commentaries of a fight I've ever seen in my life.
Could you imagine, like, Tupac becoming what Snoop Dogg has become, like hanging around with Martha Stewart and coaching kids football and doing these funny things, going to WrestleMania and
I was gonna say he saved
elbow dropping The Miz. I mean, can you imagine if Tupac had been that guy? That'd be hilarious.
You'll appreciate this. Back when I was a senior pastor at a church, this is back when I knew Pastor Mike. We got along pretty good.
The other Pastor Mike. Yeah. Mike O'Donnell, the late great.
And I'm glad you put the word great in there, too.
Oh, he's a phenomenal man. Best.
But I did a series one time at church on the music of Tupac. That was actually a Sunday morning series.
Huh.
And we looked at Tupac songs and looked at the analogies of how that fits today's world.
How about that?
I can see it. I'm different.
We like it, though.
I do, too.
Oh, that's,
we
like it. That's what you should be doing, pursuing things. Break time to get to pop culture next.
Yeah.
You guys feeling it?
I'm ready, baby.
Have you consumed a lot of pop culture lately, David Michael Hahn?
I do not consume pop culture.
I thought
culture.
You watch shows. You don't do shows anymore?
I've been playing Star Wars Battlefront, the original from like 2004 recently. So that's my pop culture.
Gaming and music are both considered
pop culture. Not from 2004.
Yeah, but this was from 2004.
Yeah. That's the historical.
There we go.
This show is absolutely loaded from here on out.
Well, this needs to be a regular feature, regular group right here.
I'd be here.
Do you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm very insecure, so I need to hear at least two or three more times that we're okay here.
Give me a heads up, and I'll block my calendar off.
I love it. Who do you think are the most hated bands of all time?
Nickelback.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Eagles. I think those are good, too. Max, do you want to weigh in on this? Because to be hated, you also have to be kind of great. You have to be on a level that you are exposed to a lot of people, in my opinion.
All I know is I hate Guns N' Roses.
Okay.
Their plane crashed, I'd be happy.
That's the second time I think you said that this week, right?
Max, you take things just a one half step too far.
That's how I feel. I'm a beacon of truth.
The official position of this show is that we don't want Guns N' Roses to die.
I like Slash.
That's the official position.
I always like Slash.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
I agree, not with Max's death sentiment, but I'm not.
I didn't wish it. I just said if it happened, I would.
I didn't say you wished it. I just said it was a sentiment.
Looking back
while
at the trouble they've caused.
Semantical argument.
Look at the trouble they've caused on one mediocre album.
I mean, I'm not a Guns N' Roses fan either, but there's no but. I don't really like them. That's the end of the
well,
comment.
I'm still trying to figure out what happened. I'm lost. Am I gone? I don't know.
I hear you.
Okay. I'm still trying to figure out why does it people hate Nickelback. Because if I had to pick the most hated band in the world, it would be Nickelback.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're that bad. I kind of like Nickelback.
Maybe that's the thing. I don't know.
Yeah, why?
Most hated bands of all time.
It's probably one person at one point.
Do they really hate them?
Yeah.
I think they do.
One person at one point started this trend, and it's become a thing.
There you go. There's something that somebody can call in about why you hate Nickelback.
Yeah, please do.
Because I don't know.
According to WatchMojo.com, this will be an impromptu game. Let's see if just on your first guesses, you guys can get any of the top 10, excluding Nickelback, which is number one. So
they actually have a thing of most hated bands.
Top 10 most hated rock bands, according to WatchMojo.
We're talking rock bands?
Is this a Gallup poll? Or what was?
No, this is just what they perceive to be public opinion.
And these bands don't give a flip as long as they're selling records.
And these are...
I don't even know where to begin.
These are mostly, you know, mainstream rock bands. There's one that I have not heard of, and maybe that's more on me than on them. But does anyone have a guess?
I'm going to go with Creed.
Creed is number three.
Let's go.
Excellent.
Go.
David Michael Hunt is still in the game.
Let's go.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Incorrect. You're out.
You're out.
There you go.
I got another one.
Thank
Max
you, Lord. I'm out of this contest.
Journey.
No, it's Max's turn.
No, but he said he's still thinking, so I'm going.
You're out. Max, you win. You let Max win right there.
No, he has to redeem himself.
You have to get one right
to get one
and
right,
then get another one right.
Exactly. Creed was a good one. Thank you.
Creed was a good one.
I don't know why I even thought of it.
You were on the right track.
With
previously.
Journey?
No.
Oh.
Max was on the right
what
track.
What number is Nickelback, did you say?
Three.
No.
One.
Nickelback was number one. Okay.
Your group was number three, Creed.
My group.
Max was on the right track when he
Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't count.
See? Does that count? That's number five.
Hi, we're going to have an album, Chinese Democracy, 40 years later.
I thought it was Appetite for Destruction.
That was the first one, and then they had
weren't all their good songs on that one?
Use Your Illusions, and then everybody, Chinese Democracy.
Were you not a big Spaghetti Incident guy?
No.
I don't think he's in anything, like, them guys.
I used to make fun of them when I was playing them new.
Here are the others, according to WatchMojo.com, the most hated band, rock bands of all time. Nickelback 1, Limp Bizkit 2.
Oh.
Creed 3, U2 4.
I should have thought of U2.
I can see that, but they're good, so I don't understand
their music
the
on my phone.
I think that happened because later on when Bono became, you know, in that pop tour and they cost money every show, they never made any money.
They played the Sphere, though, so they must be amazing. Guns N' Roses 5, Black Veil Brides. That's the one I had not heard of. Mike?
No. Nope, news to me. No wonder they're hated.
Black Veil Brides.
Why do I have a black veil to get married for anyway? That's just ridiculous.
Popularity and fan base are a clear force to be reckoned with. Not that I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there's enough negative feelings toward them to sustain Facebook groups about how awful they are. Number 7, Coldplay. Number 8, Korn. Korn, anybody? Number 9, Green Day. And number 10, the Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. I should have gotten you two.
I mean, if you're into a band like Korn, you're going to love Korn if that's their style of music. But Green Day?
What did Dave Matthews ever do to anybody?
Play a guitar or something.
That doesn't surprise me.
He dumped poop into the river, though. You remember that?
What kind?
No.
Their band like was on a ship or a bus or something. And they dumped all their waste into like a river in Chicago. I'm pretty sure that happened.
I lived in Chicago. It didn't hurt that much.
I should have got you two, Coldplay. I think Dave Matthews Band, I don't hate them, but I'm not surprised by that.
A lot of people don't like them.
I don't hate Dave Matthews.
Those are obvious.
There's all those bands, actually, that I do like.
Korn, I know of them.
I like Brian Welch and all those guys, yeah.
Korn was in that episode of South Park, I think. That's about all I know.
Odyssey has a story on this. This is the number one source. So this is what data shows. And they have the 21.
Are we replaying the game?
No, we're not. But that includes Mumford & Sons, Bob Dylan. What degenerates. I mean, I get not really preferring his music. It's not for everybody.
But hating?
You can't hate Bob Dylan.
One of the great lyricists of all time, if not the greatest lyricist of all time, and people hate it. That says something about our world.
That says something about data, that dumb people are contributing to it.
Well,
Radiohead, Kiss, I can see. But again, I don't understand why they'd be hated, because they have such a niche fan base that if you're not in the fan base, I don't imagine why you would even think about
Kiss. They're getting new fans all the time. I mean, they're going to, when they end everything, they're going to be as popular just about as they were when they started. I mean, they contributed so much to the concept of theatrics of rock and roll. It's ridiculous.
I have a question, Mike and Max, and maybe even to a lesser degree, David Michael Hum, but to guys that have been around the block a little bit, I keep hearing the Eagles, they've had so many farewell tours, and Kiss gets brought up in this conversation too. First of all, the Eagles have had one farewell tour, and they're on it right now. It's called The Long Goodbye. No other tours have been seriously billed as a farewell tour. Does Kiss have that reputation for a reason? Do you know that they've been on like multiple farewell tours, that they've just been out there saying goodbye all these years?
No, they had the last makeup tour, and then they had the no makeup tour. And then they had We Have Makeup On Again tour.
It depends on whether Gene Simmons can find a way to make money off of it. And I'm not saying that as a criticism.
I mean, the Who, Jefferson Airplane, and all those have had is our last go-around tour.
The Kiss initially had a farewell tour in 2000 to 2001. That was the last tour to feature original member Ace Frehley. So that's kind of the same. It's sort of a farewell in a way.
Farewell to Ace and Peter Criss.
Yeah,
there you go. We will get into some pop culture. Mike, you saw a movie yesterday.
Saw one yesterday. Going to see one tonight.
What are the movies that you have seen and will see?
Oh, man, there's so many that I've seen. Tonight I'm going to see the opening of A Quiet Place Day One. And yesterday, what was it we saw yesterday? We saw the Watchers, the M. Night Shyamalan movie last night. So those are a couple. And, I see 2 to 3 movies a week, except for a little over a week ago. I didn't get to see anything.
Did you see the preview, either of you? I don't like leaving you out of this conversation. Have you seen any movies?
I'm just happy to be here.
Dave and Michael, he's just happy to be here. Have you seen or heard about or watched the preview to the either of these movies? One is called Treasure. One is called Tuesday.
No for me.
No for me.
Really?
Yeah.
You should watch the previews to Treasure and Tuesday, and then we should go see them together. My wife and daughter will not go see Tuesday.
That's
because
scary.
It's about a young girl who is terminally ill.
I'm out.
And her mother trying to come to grips with that with the help of a metaphorical and also physical parrot.
I'm out.
But it's also too much for you?
I have two daughters.
Yeah, I have one too. And she's the age basically of the movie.
Well, then you should be out.
Movie.
Maybe you want to cry.
I don't mind crying.
I don't like to cry.
Well, you should. You should get in touch with that side of yourself. You should learn to cry. As you get older, you're going to be crying at everything anyway.
That's a topic for the, you know, the blog and stuff right there.
Our podcast?
Yeah,
the Michael and Michael podcast?
Yeah.
I'm down.
Well, as you get older, everything will make you cry. You might as well just get a head start, you know?
I did see the preview for the Christmas movie with The Rock.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Tell me about that.
It looks kind of funny. Rock's
not, he's not a bad actor. Yeah. He's turned into a decent actor.
It looks clever.
Yeah. Something's going on with The Rock. Continue what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying that the movie, it's like basically a spin-off all sorts of different Christmas folklore and different things. And it looks comical. I mean, I'll see it.
Well, I'll see it, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I don't see movies.
I don't watch movies either. I wanted to see Tuesday and Treasure and Inside Out.
Let's go.
We should go.
Let's go.
I watched the first hour of the Incredibles 2 movie last night on my kid's iPad.
How'd that go?
It was fine. They hogged it.
How many Incredibles are out there now? Three?
I think there's just the two.
Just two
Incredibles? Well, there's spinoffs. Yeah, they hogged it for the most part, and I was chasing the little one around, but it was decent. I like the first one better.
First one was good. Classic for a reason.
How was
let's talk
Watchers?
About the
is that what it was called?
Watchers, it's, you know, M. Night Shyamalan is an acquired taste.
Yeah.
And if you understand what he's doing, it's very good. But most people don't understand what he's doing. I mean, because there's so much undertones.
Yeah.
You know, there's the concept of family and the concept of doing what you want versus doing what you've been told. And do you accept fatality, or do you try to find reasons to live? Those are all underscored themes of them, which I really appreciate. I love that kind of stuff. But it's M. Night Shyamalan, and it's not for everybody. But I enjoyed it. So,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What was better, Civil War or The Watchers?
Civil War.
Of course.
Civil War is very...
Well, I mean, you have Captain America and Iron Man. It's just, you know, can't...
It's crazy. When you and I met... David Michael Hahn.
Wrong Civil War.
I know.
You were watching so many television shows that I couldn't keep them all. And you had one small child.
I had one small child.
Now you have three small children.
Small
and as much time in the day to watch television shows.
No.
At least we get to go to lunch occasionally.
I do sometimes get to see you for lunch. No, we don't watch a lot of TV. I mean, we don't have a lot of time during the day. I mean, we get from about 7 till 8:30. Well, 7:30 till 8:45 at night.
Well, go from 7:30 to 9:30 tonight and watch season one of Shoresy.
Okay.
And let me know what you think.
I'll pitch it.
Pitch it and make it happen.
I'll pitch it.
You're the man of the house. Get it done.
I'm in the house.
Get her done. Who said that?
That's Larry the Cable Guy.
I know who it was.
One of my favorites.
Is it really?
He's one of my guilty pleasures.
Oh, my goodness.
I love Larry the Cable Guy.
He's nothing in real life like the character, but what a great character.
Isn't he, though?
No, I don't think he is.
Hasn't he morphed into Larry the Cable Guy on some...
No.
Speaking
he's morphed into how to make money is what he's done.
Speaking of former Don Imus characters and calling people, wasn't Kinky Friedman involved with Imus?
Well,
Kinky Friedman has passed away today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Imus definitely promoted him and played his
I
music.
Thought that's where I like heard.
I love the song. They ain't making Jews Like Jesus Anymore by Kinky. Have you ever heard that?
I heard.
Max. Have you heard? You've listened to Kinky.
What is
Max,
Kinky
don't
Friedman?
Throw me. You've listened to Kinky Friedman.
Radio you can touch. That could only mean one thing.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that?
Friedman is a Jewish name, and I've known you
your entire life. There's no one who knows less about football.
Jeff Lutz.
I think every bowl game from now on should be named after something you can put in a bowl. Like raisins. Orange bowl's fine. Sugar bowl's okay.
All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back and talk to James
Quint,
the executive director of Cow County.
Has not been 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Background, what brought him to Wichita.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Bob and Jeff. Bob is out today. He'll be back tomorrow.
Celebrate America.
I will not be here tomorrow.
Next week.
The youngster has
fun conversation to be had at Kansas State James University.
Michael Hahnbeichel, Anthony Furches.
What a rush.
Are here.
We'll go to the IHOP
KFH
hotline right now and talk to the executive director of Wichita's Cowtown Museum. That is James Quint. James, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. So we want to talk first about you. We're going to get into Cowtown itself and, of course, the event that's happening around July 4th at the museum, but you came from New York. I think you just started this job in March, just a few months ago at Cowtown. What have been your initial impressions of our fine city, and what brought you to Wichita?
I actually grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in Missouri, so don't hold that against me.
No offense.
But I spent the last about 15, 16 years in on the East Coast, and, you know, just always wanted to get back to the Midwest. My wife's family's in the Kansas City area, and we wanted to kind of get back into a sizable community that has the things that we as a family like, and this became available. I have a real passion for Cowtown and other historic sites like that, and so with my experience, it just kind of all lined up.
This is Mike Furches here. I'm a big movie buff, and I know that Cowtown has been used to make so many movies in the past, and it's a great location for that. Are there any plans in the future or things that we need to be aware of that might put Wichita back again on the national scene regarding Western film?
Yeah, one of the things that we're doing right now is revising our movie and filming policies to make it easier for groups to film at Cowtown, and then I know at the state level, the state's been trying to incentivize, and I know they're continuing to have conversations about that. But we want to make sure that Cowtown is such a unique place. It has so many historic buildings, and the setting is just so beautiful and perfect for filming Western settings. And so we just want to make sure that we're ready when those filmmakers come to Wichita.
This is David. I run a very popular and incredible podcast called the Wichita Podcast. I'm going to have to reach out to you to get you to come on that at some point and tell us the history about Cowtown. But while I have you here, we did an episode, Is Wichita Haunted? And there was a lot of chatter about Cowtown being haunted. Have you experienced any of the hauntings yet?
I have not. However, I know that lots of people have. I always try not to stay here just too terribly late, so I don't run into those encounters. But this spring, we had a school group where I think some kids walked out ghost white out of one of our buildings saying that they saw something. It's hard to tell when those things might appear.
Wow. Yeah, no doubt. James Quint, our guest, he's the executive director of Cowtown. So you've been here a few months, like we said. So what do you see as the future of this museum? Were you brought in, do you feel like, to kind of maintain what was going on? Do you have grand ideas for what it could become? Because obviously this is a staple of Wichita, but I'm sure in many ways you're always looking to improve and see how you can get better and expand. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, one of the things I absolutely love about Cowtown is all of the opportunities that are here. It has a wonderful foundation of what the past staff and directors have done, and I think we're in a good position to really kind of grow to the next level. When I look at Cowtown, I see, I really envision how it fits into our national story, the national narrative of how we talk about American history. And, you know, places like Colonial Williamsburg and Deerfield Village in Michigan are locations that are really destinations to learn about certain time periods. And Cowtown can be a real destination for people all over the country to kind of learn about westward expansion and the settlement of the plains and the cattle drives and the growth of the railroads. There are so many opportunities here, and I'm loving the fact that I get to play an important part of that.
Mike Furches here again. One of the things I've always loved about Cowtown is the special events that go on. And we've got one coming up, the 4th of July, which is really a lot of fun. But then there's always that Christmas time at Cowtown as well. What have you heard regarding that? I don't know if you've been on since the last Christmas program or not, but that's always a good time to visit.
Yeah, I think I have not been here for any of the Christmas programs. As you guys mentioned, I started in March. I think, you know, what's really important about the holidays is exploring how people celebrated the holidays in the past and how that either carries to how we do it today or what's different about it. And so whether you're talking about 4th of July with their upcoming program on Saturday the 6th, or if you're talking about Victorian Christmas, you know, what are the similarities and how is it different from the way they did it 100 years ago?
James Quinn, our guest, he's the executive director at Cowtown. So let's talk about this 4th of July celebration. I believe it's happening on July 6th. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is July 6th from 10 to 5.
So what was going on? It's basically 1870s theme. That's kind of around when the centennial was. First mm-hmm. of all, what was going on in and around this part of the country that you know of 130 years ago or so, and what will Cowtown be offering on that day?
Yeah, so it Wichita really is embodying the state of the country in 1870. It's just a few years after the end of the Civil War, so patriotism is very high in many parts of the country. Reconstruction is going on in the South, but really the United States has returned to westward expansion, and Wichita is that perfect location for it. The large cattle drives that are coming in, the cowboys that are coming into Wichita, and that's balanced by their rowdiness is kind of balanced by people who are trying to make a community out of Wichita. And so one of the things that we know is there's a strong temperance movement in Wichita. So this Saturday, or Saturday of July 6th, one of the things we're going to do is we'll have a temperance march that marches on our saloon. And so you'll see how cowboys and saloon girls push back against the temperance movement and kind of those competing interests. We'll also have a couple of gunfights with blanks out at the museum this that weekend. There'll be dancing troops. There'll be melodramas. There's just a lot of activity that's going to be going on.
So I'm glad I'm not doing the show with my dad today because he would have killed me for that bad math. The 1870s, 150 years ago, not 130, as previously mentioned. Mike?
One of the things about Kansas, Oklahoma, with the cowboys and the settlements here, there were a lot of involvement among African-Americans or black Americans at that time. What is Cowtown doing to kind of represent that part of our own unique history, and that we welcome slaves and individuals, and then you have the Buffalo Cowboys and that type of thing, Buffalo Soldiers, I should say.
Yeah, so what we try to do at Cowtown is certainly provide an accurate representation of who our community was at that time. And we know that a huge percentage of cowboys were black, a huge percentage of cowboys were Latino descent. And so we want people to learn more about that. And so one of the things that we're going to be doing on July 6th is there is a curator at a nearby museum. His name is Keith, and he's coming in to talk about how other nearby communities celebrated the 4th of July. And one of them was to have a kind of a Spanish bullfight. And so we'll be talking about some of those communities at our event on July 6th. But beyond that, I think one of the reasons why I was also brought in as director of Cowtown is I have, at my other previous museums, I've done a lot of work to try to bring out the stories of underrepresented or lesser known stories in the history. And in fact, I was just meeting with some of our board members and a city councilman the other day to kind of talk about how can we grow our interpretation of these groups. And so next year around this time, we're going to be doing a pretty big program centered around Juneteenth and kind of the announcement, because we're not that far away from Texas. And, you know, so Juneteenth and forming the enslaved individuals in Texas, that slavery has come to an end, and kind of the memory of that and how that connects back to Kansas and Wichita as well.
Well, we're a little bit late, but welcome to Wichita. Welcome back to the Midwest. We appreciate your time today, and good luck. I guess it would be next weekend, July 6th, July 4th weekend, with your event. We appreciate you coming on to talk about it.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. I'm happy to do that anytime.
Thanks a lot. All right, we got a little Cowtown talk in.
Yeehaw.
You've never done an episode of, and I'm going to criticize you here. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
You only have one question.
You only got to me once. You had to pub the thing.
I had a second question. You said no.
I said yes again because I thought
I didn't know
one.
What the eating motion
I was going to ask him what his favorite restaurant is. Isn't that what dude always asks?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, I was going
to
fill
but
in.
But again, if you were to have him on your podcast and it was about Cowtown, you'd need more than one question.
Yeah, but it's different. That's the history of Cowtown. I'm not going to ask him what year it was built and why it was built and all that.
Here's another tip. Am I allowed to give you?
No.
I'm not?
Okay. Bring it on.
If you can Google it, don't talk about it.
That's a terrible tip. There'd be no podcasts.
If you're going to ask a guy when it was built?
It's part of the podcast, the history
of Wichita. Don't ask him. You tell me when it was built, and then we elaborate. We want to go deep with the guest.
That's what this show might be, but that's not what my podcast is.
Well, I'm telling you.
What are you telling me?
Go deep.
This is why I cut you out of the one episode you were on.
I know.
Because you were too deep.
That's a good thing I'm sitting between the two of you right now. That's all I got.
He's holding me back.
I feel like as wonderful friends, you're allowed to give unsolicited, perhaps bad advice.
I think that's fine. I think for the radio show, that's fair, but not for the podcast.
What is the goal of your podcast?
To tell the history of Wichita.
How?
Through verbs and nouns.
Okay, but how do you get the information? How do you deliver the information?
Well, it depends on the podcast. If I'm delivering the information, then I'll start from the beginning and work my way through. If it's a guest, I let them do that.
The less you
speak. You've never listened.
I've listened.
The less you speak and the more the guests speak, the better the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless it's Jeff.
That's why I just cut him out.
Then we're just tuning in.
Well, he didn't want me on the podcast anyway. I understand that. It was early on in our friendship. I was kind of just walking around. He said, come in. Didn't really mean it. I understand all that. It's water under the bridge. Hurt my feelings deeply at the time, but I'm over it.
Okay.
And I love the part where you said something about you giving unsolicited bad advice.
It might be bad, but it might be good. It's all any advice is something to think about. It's either I'm not going to do that or, hey, you might be onto something there. I usually go toward when I'm given advice or something along those lines. I'm usually the only reason that person would be telling me that is there might be something to it. Right? There's no reason for anybody to go out of their way unless there's something to it. And if I decide later to dismiss someone's advice, then so be it. But usually I've found that people are generally well-intentioned and often right, as it turns out.
If you lived by your advice of if you can Google it, don't talk about it.
I don't mean that.
90% of content out there would not exist.
But I mean, if I can type it into a Google search and immediately get the answer.
But no one's going to do that. They're going to listen to my episode of the podcast to learn. It was started then.
Why would they care about Cowtown if they didn't already kind of know about it? Why would they listen? What makes your podcast, this isn't a leading question. I'm curious. What makes your podcast, what separates it? What sets it apart from other podcasts to where I want to listen to that podcast over another podcast that might be about Wichita or about museums or as a group of guys talking about stuff. What separates you?
And first of all, we're talking about the Wichita podcast. You can find it anywhere you stream your podcast.
Right.
I just want to throw that Wichita podcast name out there.
And everyone should listen to it.
Thank you. We pride ourselves on, doesn't matter if you've lived in Wichita your entire life, you've visited, you know everything you think you know about Wichita. Our goal is every episode you're going to walk away from the episode learning something you didn't know.
Like the first electric guitar performance.
Exactly. You know how many firsts
did that happen in Wichita?
Absolutely. It did.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
First things happened in Wichita. It's unbelievable. Go listen to our episodes.
It is unbelievable. My daughter, very much into fashion, right?
A fashionista, if you will.
Yeah. And so she's on TikTok, which, you know, it's not my business anymore. She's 18. She can be on TikTok. It's whatever. But she puts up her outfits, and she keeps posting my outfit every day until I go viral. And I gave
your
her,
outfit?
No, my outfit. That's what her thing says.
Oh, posting I thought it was
my
your outfit.
No, I'm not going to go viral in my outfit. I completely understand.
You're the model for League 42 today.
What do you mean?
You're a League 42 model.
Oh, it's
I just saw League. Don't,
League champs.
Yeah.
Has she gone viral yet?
No. And I told her, you have to offer something different. Mm. Something that people can't get anywhere else. You have to be unique.
That's a better unsolicited advice.
Yeah, that's my advice, though. That would be my advice to everyone pursuing a goal or whatever.
How are you different? I mean, the key to find something that you enjoy, that you're different at, that you're unique, I think that contributes to the concept that we are all uniquely, everyone in this room right here, we have similarities, but we're so uniquely different, it's unbelievable.
Of course.
To find that niche, because we're not the only ones.
This show is different because we have a father and son who generally get along but argue all the time and have strong opinions and don't necessarily always talk sports and go off the beaten path and talk about life. And that's how we're different. Does that mean we're popular or that we're loved? No, it just means that we're different. So we found a lane. We found an avenue.
And for a ratings purpose, really smart, because people tune in to hear that.
I mean, I hope.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know.
I've had people say, what are they like? It's like, I listen all the time and I can't figure it out.
We can't either, but it must work somehow.
It blurs the line. Did you ever wish him a happy Father's Day?
I wished him a happy. I bought his meal. I took him out to breakfast.
$51.
I said happy Father's Day to his face. It was $81.
$81.
Where'd you take it?
Cracker Barrel. We had five people. Cheap breakfast.
Love a good Cracker Barrel run.
But Cracker Barrel was good.
That breakfast meal that they got is,
it's a good spot.
Cracker Barrel's doing good things.
Plus, they sell cheer wine and Dr. Neff bottled out of East Tennessee and Southern North Carolina.
I've been reading that the new CEO of Cracker Barrel says we've become irrelevant.
And then they're not unique anymore.
And there were 23,000 people there.
Yeah.
But it's never going to be irrelevant in the Midwest, right?
Well, I think it depends. The Cracker Barrel that some of us grew up with no longer exists. And in some ways, that's kind of a sad thing.
Did you grow up? I didn't know it, honestly.
Well,
I'm not calling you old, but I did not know it had been around.
Started in Tennessee, down near Nashville, a town called Lebanon, and I lived outside of Nashville.
Well, once things become commercialized, right, they're not going to be.
I think it's beyond that. I mean, it's.
What was Cracker Barrel like in its infancy?
When they quit serving molasses with the biscuits, they lost me. I'm just kidding.
Did they?
Yes, they don't serve molasses anymore.
That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because on a biscuit or a piece of cornbread, it made a great dessert. I'm not critical, and I have enjoyed my adult beverage at Cracker Barrel. But for a large section of community that went there after church, for them to start selling alcohol was something beyond what they could imagine taking place at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
So things of that nature. Did it help them? Did it hurt them? Didn't bother me because I can enjoy a good beer and be done with the good beer to go with my beans and greens.
For those of you listening at home or watching the David webcast, did any of you have that we would talk this much about Cracker Barrel today on your bingo card?
It's fascinating.
It certainly was not on our list.
It's fascinating to me how much effort it probably takes to uphold a standard for that long.
Absolutely. Is that spread out?
At businesses, I can't think of the one recently that went out of business, and you can just see it going downhill, and this is not going to last very long. There was this frozen yogurt place, Orange something, not Orange Julius, but something Orange.
Leaf?
Orange Leaf, yeah. And you could just see the quality down, 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 and then it was out of business.
Yeah.
It's so, and this is a conglomerate of nationwide restaurants. I can't imagine how hard it is to maintain something like that.
Well, and then just the staffing and everything that goes with it. What they have to do is, making a podcast is hard. Try running a restaurant. It would be impossible nowadays.
Yeah.
What a conversation.
Although I would love to start one, but not really.
All right. We're going to start an NBC team, though, right?
Tell me, say more. Say more.
We're going to take a break right now. You guys ready to play a game?
I could play a game.
You're going to be bad at it.
Naturally.
I'm always bad at these games.
Mike Furchess will probably be better at it than you. But the good thing about it is, it doesn't really matter. You can still win.
Fantastic.
Great.
Stay with us. We're going to play a game when we come back. It's Bob and Jeff on KFH.
KFH.
It is.
Oh, excuse me.
Time to play the game!
Time to play the game. This, of course, is an old standby. How old are they? Oh. Mike's going to guess first.
I have a chance.
You're going to say higher or lower. That's all you need. Then you're going to guess, and Mike's going to say higher or lower.
I love it.
Pretty simple stuff. The person that inspired the game today, I'll ask you, Mike, first, and that is John Lithgow. Ooh. How old is John Lithgow? And if you get it right, of course, you get
three points. You got to make a designation. I'm assuming
that's Dave.
Dave.
Olive Dave, we call him.
Big Olive Dave.
What's that, Dave Michael?
I call you just Olive.
Or Dave Michael.
Dave Michael.
How old is John Lithgow?
John Lithgow, I'd say John Lithgow is 74 years of age.
Higher or lower?
He said 74?
Yeah.
I'm going to go higher.
That's correct. David Michael Hahn. X gets the square.
What's the age?
78.
Nice.
Your person, and I got to continue to Google all these people.
Thank goodness you didn't have all the tabs up already.
I didn't write these down. Your person, David Michael Hahn, Michelle Pfeiffer. How old is Michelle Pfeiffer?
62.
Higher.
That's correct.
How old is she?
66.
Closer than I thought. Closer than I thought.
You've both been off by four. You were talking, I believe, earlier about Public Enemy.
Yeah.
That old school rap.
Yeah.
How old is Chuck D?
Oh, my goodness. 60.
David Michael Hahn.
I'm going to guess higher.
That's correct.
Yes,
it's 63 years old. You guys are both extremely close.
Yeah.
I think we're doing pretty good.
Incredibly far.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
We're all right.
I don't know if you know who this person is.
I was going to say, I'm just praying that I know who you're going to say.
I doubt you know who this person is.
I'll give a guess anyway.
Dennis Haysbert.
He's probably 71.
Mike, higher or lower?
Lower, because I have no idea who this is.
Do you know Dennis Haysbert?
Not a clue. Was I get it right, though?
He's 70.
Oh, what up? You didn't guess. Lower?
You didn't guess, so I'm giving that point to
yes,
David Michael.
I am on the lead.
Wait a second. I said lower, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know this person. That's all.
I don't know this person.
You don't know Pedro Serrano?
No, but
you don't know the Allstate guy in the commercials? You don't know the president
the guy
in 24?
Was he in Prison Break?
He was the president in 24.
But he was in Prison Break.
No, he wasn't.
I love Prison Break. That's a great show.
The
only person in the first season of 24 anybody cared about was Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah. Well, she was hot.
Can we get her age?
Yeah,
I got it right. I said lower. Give him the point.
I think he did.
Okay.
Give him the point.
I'm competitive as you are, Jeffrey.
I'm the least competitive.
As you should be. Well, be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to win this game.
Your person, I don't like that one, so I'm going to go Elisha Cuthbert for you. David Michael Hahn.
Me, I just went.
I mean, Michael Furches. I was looking at him, but I said your
name. You did look at him. I was just like, all right.
I'm so confused.
It's a good day when we confuse you.
It is.
Tell me again the name.
Elisha Cuthbert.
I'm guessing fairly young, 42.
I'm going to take the odds of older.
She's younger. She's 41.
Dang.
That's pretty daggone.
We've both been one off the last two.
On people we didn't even know.
We need to create our own television show or something on this one.
Yeah. Give me somebody I might know.
David Michael Hahn. Michael Douglas.
Ooh, I do know who that is. Oh, God. 80?
Higher.
David Michael Hahn gets the point. He's 79. You guys are incredibly good at this. It makes absolutely no sense.
You said we'd be bad at this. You said I'd be bad at this.
I did think that because your pop culture knowledge compared to Mike's.
I know Michael Douglas
is. We're doing pretty good.
You know, I didn't know that you'd know him well enough to guess a ballpark age. Because you don't go back to like the 80s with him and, oh, he was doing this in 84 and he was doing this in 77.
We don't go to Sonic and have a milkshake together either, but what does that matter?
Right.
Exactly. It matters because of context and a frame of reference.
Well, if it's after 8 o'clock, I hope you're happy. We will go get a milkshake together because we're half price.
I'm going out of town. 3-3.
Well, that can't be right.
It's what I got.
It can't be right.
Your person, Mike Furches, is...
I just went.
I just got...
Okay, what is it?
Your score's off.
No, it's not. We've done 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, and so far, we've done right every one except for the last one. We've done the right, higher, or lower every single time, and then I just got one right, so I should have 4.
No, you shouldn't.
I don't know. I don't think that's right.
Okay.
Chad Michael Murray.
Ooh, Chad Michael Murray. I know who that is well enough to get this right.
That's you, Mike.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Let's go 42.
Ding, 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 ding.
Dang.
3 points.
I would have guessed older, but I guess.
You don't get a guess.
I don't get a guess.
When he gets it exactly right.
We are really good at this game.
Let's go to the lottery.
Yeah, right. Yeah, seriously.
Are you reading my page?
We're taking off.
Are you reading my page?
Reading it in your glassy.
Are you reading my page?
I can't read your page.
Your glassy, beautiful eyes.
Just because it's reflected in the mirror there. I don't mean I can see it.
And it's right there. I forgot that it was right there. You're cheating, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Be honest.
I am not.
This game is under protest.
I will fight.
I somehow do not have a lot of points.
I will fight tooth and nail to win, but I will not cheat doing it.
You better fight harder.
This game's under protest.
Tell me, how old David Michael Hunt is Lily Tomlin?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, I do know who that is, but I don't have no idea. 48.
Oh, my. She's much higher than that.
Is she? I have no. Maybe I don't know who that is.
You had it right. 84. You just transposed it.
Maybe I don't know who that is. Not who I thought
I don't
was.
Think you know who that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's not who I thought.
Just because legend. Her name is Lily does not make her fair. Sort of young. I hate to say it.
Do I get a half a point for the transposition?
You should, right?
I should. I'm not going to win on this pace.
Mike Furches, how old is actor Ed Harris?
Ed Harris, I would guesstimate to be 82.
That's a good guess. It's not right, but it's a good guess. I'm going to guess younger.
Yeah, that's younger.
How much younger?
He's 73.
Wow.
We've been off on that one more than anybody.
Yeah, that was... Right.
Other than my 84 to 48, yeah. Yes.
You know that? On the new series that he's in, he looks 84.
Now that I put my screen down, you were way off. That's a bad look, Mike.
Yeah. Can he lose his points then?
No. I didn't cheat much.
Protest.
your person, David Michael Hunt, Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Three names, the three
that
names.
Is one person that I know probably the most work from. I don't know how old she is. I'm going to guess 58.
Higher.
Correct.
I'm saying 62.
She's 63.
It's kind of like a Price is Right almost. Like I should have... I didn't know if she really was 58.
I'll take a. I want to buy a vowel, please.
That's Will Forte.
That's
Will Forte. I haven't been watching Prices Right. I've been on.
Ever since our boy Pat Sajak left, you haven't been watching Will.
For you, Mike, we're going to stay in the Seinfeld family with Michael Richards.
Michael Richards, 66.
Older.
Yes, he is. He's 74 years old.
I was going to guess 74.
David Michael Hunt suddenly struggling.
I just got it right.
I mean, Michael Furches.
Yeah.
I don't know your guys' names anymore.
No wonder the score's messed up.
He doesn't know who he's marking.
I don't. It's 8-6, though, somebody.
That doesn't sound right.
I don't know. Somebody's winning.
You're up 8-6, I think.
Whose turn is it?
You know,
it's
with the scorekeeping, man. Jeff, you cannot accuse Bob of cooking the books.
It's hard.
This year.
How many more do we got of these?
I don't know. How many more do you want?
Until I win.
I have five.
We'll be here for a week and a half.
Five left. All right, here we go.
Good. Okay, I got a chance.
The next person is Ice-T.
Sixty-five.
That's a good guess.
Thank you.
I'm going to go just a tad lower.
He's just a tad higher.
Yes.
66.
We are so good at this.
He cheated.
That's now true. I'm not cheating.
I'm so good at this.
I'm just thinking.
How
just
is
thinking,
Ice-T 66 that's years
what
old?
That's what I'm thinking.
That is insane.
I mean, he's been around for a really long time.
Mike, you're up. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
Ooh.
Let's go 67.
Younger.
Yes, younger. 8-8.
Well, how old is he?
62.
I've closed the gap, baby.
We have tied the game. And we go to Michael.
David Michael.
Michael Hahn, whatever your name is. Dan Patrick.
I have no idea.
Do you know who Dan Patrick is?
I know the name, but I can't. I'm blanking on who it is.
You're going to have to guess.
A little context?
Nope.
60. Mike doesn't know.
Higher.
Yes, higher. He's 67. He's a former SportsCenter host.
Yeah.
Now he has a radio show.
That's right. I still would not have been able to guess.
The Dan Patrick show.
Yeah, that's how I know the name.
Back
I would never guess.
Back to Mike. Sean Penn.
Sean Penn, I'm going to go 68.
Older.
Younger. Oof. That's your ball game. 10-8. You can't win, but I'll give you
one
more.
Turn out
the
light.
What do you mean I can't win? I get it
right.
On the dot.
You can get it right. That's correct.
This is my chance. It's going to be.
I got one.
Please beat David Michael Hahn.
Did I get 3 points for my one right?
You did.
Your person is Steffi Graf.
Who's that?
Really?
I don't know who that
See?
Is.
Mary Tondre Agassi.
Who's that?
69.
Good Lord.
She's younger.
You're as juvenile as Max. She's 55 years old. And Mike wins 11-8.
That was the first time, though.
Even yeah, I think, I think that's a great game.
Considering he cheated for 7 or 8 rounds.
I would have won if he hadn't cheated. You know, I didn't cheat because of the amount of gaps on my ones that were pretty bad.
Just like I can see that far.
That's right there.
He's got glasses on.
I can't
on.
See that.
You can't?
Those are x-ray
see
glasses.
That. I can't see how old they are, though.
Okay. I believe you. You win. I want to tell you guys about IHOP because when we went to the IHOP hotline earlier and talked to James Quint from Cowtown, that was brought to you by IHOP. Now, I have a question for you. You need to think about this. I don't really know your answer yet, David Michael Hum, but we did discuss it, and I think I know your answer.
I'm just happy to be here.
Is brought to you by IHOP. That was the IHOP hotline. Stop in and try the 2x2x2 deal. 2x2 gets you 2 eggs your way, 2 bacon strips, or 2 pork sausage links, and 2 buttermilk pancakes.
Mm.
Now,
or here's a bit
when you hear 2x2x2, what number comes to mind?
I think 4x4. I don't know.
No, it's like, are you adding them or multiplying them? Is it 2x2, 6?
I'm multiplying.
2x2x2, 6, or 2x2x2, 8?
I'm not going to 8. I'm going to the multiplication.
Yeah, that's what I believe. David
that's what
Michael
I texted you about. You never responded.
Yeah, you said you agree.
I did agree. I mean, I agreed with your way of thinking.
But I wasn't sure if that was the 8 or the 6, because I brought up both.
Now you're talking new math, and we're going to all get in trouble.
Well, 2
but
by 2
by 2,
But if
you're doing a 2x2x2 grid, that's like 6, right?
Probably. It must be.
Is it?
Math. Hey, look, I was a mathlete. I went to the math competition at Penn State every year.
I don't even know how to draw that grid.
That's a terrible grid.
It's not a grid. It's 3 lines with 1 line through them. Now it's 5.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the show today. It was we're just going to stop early.
No, we're not. This is the material. Why is the NBA draft going on at 3 in the afternoon?
Because no one cares about the NBA.
But why'd they make it two days, right? Like, wasn't it so people would watch? Who cares?
Did they make it two days?
Did they make it 2 days so these losers, I mean, these second-round picks, didn't have to, like, show up to the real draft? What's going on?
And as I'm sitting here with this bobblehead in front of me, exactly what pick was Fred VanVleet?
Hmm. He wasn't drafted.
There you go.
Who did the Pacers select?
I told you who.
Was it really Juan Nunez? I think he just
Juan
made that
something.
Up.
Look it up. I bet it was Nunez.
Well,
from Spain.
For it. I'm looking for it.
Jeff is the purported... Pacers fan.
Yeah.
Purported.
I've heard that. I mean, it was a new thing this year, if I'm not mistaken.
It's relatively new, yeah. I mean, good for him. If he didn't have a team already, he can claim a team, I guess.
Do you like the Fever?
He does like the Fever.
I don't care about the Fever. I know that they got Caitlin Clark, but I only have limited capacity. Quit looking at your watch. We'll be out of here soon.
I got the alert that I haven't walked this hour. That's all.
Well, you need to walk.
I do, but
it
I'm
is,
here.
It is Juan Nunez.
Told you.
That's the guy's name.
You sure it wasn't the latest NBA pick that was?
It was not. That goes on my phone, not my watch. Yeah.
This person says, steal of the draft, the Pacers may have found the missing piece can contribute from day one.
Wow. A day one contributor.
I don't believe that person in the slightest. But you never know. You just never know. Mike, what do you have going on this weekend? Because I'll be gone. I won't be able to talk to you. I can talk to you, but I just won't.
I don't really have anything planned for this weekend. Do you know what I really like to do on Saturdays?
Talk to me.
I like to get up early on Saturday mornings and go to garage sales.
That's great.
That's my life.
That's great.
And then try not to buy anything, but I don't succeed.
That sounds like my wife.
The Pacers originally selected Johnny Furphy out of the University of Kansas and then traded him to the Spurs.
That's what my late wife used to call me, Furphy.
Really?
No.
Why not? It'd be funny. What about you, David Michael Hahn? Weekend plans? Summer plans?
Summer plans are different than my weekend. I got a haircut tomorrow. As you can tell, I'm getting a little bushy. Not quite your level, Mike, but
hey, I was almost shaved here a while back.
Yeah, my wife doesn't prefer getting as deep as it's been going. My only real big summer plans, I'm going to Tahoe in a little while. Taking the whole fam, our first time traveling as a family on a plane. And first time any of them have been
Are you going to be going through
Fresno, Nevada side or the Cal side?
Just Reno. Well, we'll be on the border.
Okay.
We're going to a wedding, and we're staying on the California side, but the wedding, I believe, is on the Nevada side.
There's a bar in Nevada in Virginia City. It's a short drive. Do it.
Okay, what's it called?
Virginia City's everything there, but it begins with a G. It's the oldest bar in Nevada.
Okay, I'll look it up.
And it's amazing. It's an old west bar in the middle of nowhere.
I love that.
And then Virginia City, it's an amazing place for people that have never thought about going there.
Yeah.
I have breaking news before we go off the air.
I'm sure it isn't.
Johnny Furphy is a Pacer.
All right.
They traded with the Spurs to get Furphy. Nunez goes to San Antonio.
So that guy that said he's a day one contributor is...
No, I think he meant Furphy.
Oh. That guy looks like he's three.
He does. I wasn't buying him. Furphy, a 6'9 sharpshooter, former Australian rules footballer.
There you go.
I thought it was rugby.
I would like to see him go up against LeBron.
And now we got him. What a steal.
We got him.
What a steal.
Yeah, that's the pick of the draft.
Thunder took the Nikola
Topic Thunder. Topic.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I love that. Yeah. Topic Thunder. They're probably going to trade him.
Is that what they're calling him?
He's literally Alex Caruso. He's the exact same size.
Well, he's more of a ball handler than Alex Caruso.
That might be true. But yeah, we're going to Tahoe. First time the kids will fly, any of them. So that pray for us. For those that don't know, I have 3 under 4. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
There you have it. I think that's our show. Mike, any final words?
Words. The word for the day is popcorn. There you go. That's the word.
I had popcorn.
There you go.
I like popcorn.
Leftover popcorn from yesterday's Wednesday popcorn day at Channel 12.
I was thinking of the
Channel
song.
Channel 12 popcorn day is Wednesday.
I was thinking of the Poco song that did popcorn, but that's beside the point.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm out tomorrow, so... You're probably not going to listen tomorrow, so have a good weekend. Bob will be here with somebody, and
I'll be here with him.
He'll have a good time. Maybe. See ya.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that. More dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a good guess.
Thank you.
I'm going to go just a tad lower.
He's just a tad higher.
Yes!
66.
We are so good at this.
Ah, man.
He cheated.
That's now true. I'm not cheating.
I'm so good at this.
I'm just thinking.
How is
I
66
years
old?
That's what I'm thinking.
That is insane.
I mean, he's been around for a really long time.
Mike, you're up. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver.
Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh.
Mm-mm-mm. Let's go 67.
Younger.
Yes, younger. 8-8.
Well, how old is he?
62.
I've closed the gap, baby.
We have tied the game. And we go to Michael.
David Michael.
Michael Hahn, whoever, whatever your name is. Dan Patrick.
I have no idea.
Do you know who Dan Patrick is?
I know the name, but I can't. I'm blanking on who it is.
You're going to have to guess.
A little context?
Nope.
60. Mike doesn't know.
Higher.
Yes, higher. He's 67. He's a former Sports Center host.
Now he has
a radio show.
That's right. I still would not have been
able
to guess.
The Dan Patrick show.
Yeah, that's how I know the name.
Back
I would never guess.
Mike. Sean Penn.
Sean Penn, I'm going to go 68.
Older.
Younger.
Oof.
That's your ball game. 10-8, you can't win, but I'll give you
one
more.
Turn out the
line. What do you mean I can't win? I get it right. On the dot.
You can get it right. That's correct.
This is my chance. It's going to be.
I got one.
Please beat David Michael Hahn.
Did I get 3 points for my one right?
You did.
Your person is Steffi Graf.
Who's that?
Really?
I don't know who that
is.
Mary Tondre Agassi.
Who's that?
69.
Good Lord.
She's younger.
You're as juvenile as Max. She's 55 years old. And Mike wins 11-8.
That was the first time, thought, though. Even
I think that's a great game.
Considering he cheated for 7 or 8 rounds.
I would have won if he hadn't cheated. You know, I didn't cheat because of the amount of gaps on my ones that were pretty bad.
Just like I can see that far.
That's right there.
He's got glasses on.
I can't
on.
See that.
You can't?
Those are x-ray glasses.
That. I can't see how old they are, though.
Okay. I believe you. You win. I want to tell you guys about IHOP because when we went to the IHOP hotline earlier and talked to James Quint from Cowtown, that was brought to you by IHOP. Now, I have a question for you. You need to think about this. I don't really know your answer yet, David Michael Hum, but we did discuss it, and I think I know your answer.
I'm just happy to be here.
Is brought to you by IHOP. That was the IHOP hotline. Stop in and try the 2x2x2 deal. 2x2 gets you 2 eggs your way, 2 bacon strips, or 2 pork sausage links, and 2 buttermilk pancakes.
Mm.
Now,
or here's a bit
when you hear 2x2x2, what number comes to mind?
I think 4x4, I don't know.
No, it's like, are you adding them or multiplying them? Is it 2x2, 6?
I'm multiplying.
2x2x2, 6, or 2x2x2, 8?
I'm not going to 8. I'm going to the multiplication.
Yeah, that's what I believe. David,
that's what
Michael
I texted you about. You never responded.
Yeah, you said you agree.
I did agree. I mean, I agreed with your way of thinking.
But I wasn't sure if that was the 8 or the 6, because I brought up both.
Now you're talking new math, and we're going to all get in trouble.
Well, 2x2x2
grid, that's like 6, right?
Probably. It must be.
Is it?
Math. Hey, look, I was a mathlete. I went to the math competition at Penn State every year.
I don't even know how to draw that grid.
That's a terrible grid.
It's not a grid. It's three lines with one line through them. Now it's a 5.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the show today. It was we're just going to stop early.
No, we're not. This is the material. Why is the NBA draft going on at 3 in the afternoon?
Because no one cares about the NBA.
But why'd they make it two days, right? Like, wasn't it so people would watch? Who cares? Did they make it 2 days so these losers, I mean, these second-round picks, didn't have to, like, show up to the real draft, or what's going on?
And as I'm sitting here with this bobblehead in front of me, exactly what pick was Fred VanVleet?
Mm. He wasn't drafted.
There you go.
Who did the Pacers select?
I told you who.
Was it really Juan Nunez? I think he just
Juan
made that
something.
Up.
Look it up. I bet it was Nunez.
Well,
from Spain.
For it. I'm looking for it.
Jeff is a purported Pacers fan.
Yeah.
I've
heard that. I mean, it was a new thing this year, if I'm not mistaken.
It's relatively new, yeah. I mean, good for him. If he didn't have a team already, he can claim a team, I guess.
Do you like the Fever?
He does like the Fever.
I don't care about the Fever. I know that they got Caitlin Clark, but I only have limited capacity. Quit looking at your watch. We'll be out of here soon.
I got the alert that I haven't walked this hour. That's all.
Well, you need to walk.
I do, but
it
I'm
is,
here.
It is Juan Nunez. That's the guy's name.
You sure it wasn't the latest NBA pick that was?
It was not. That goes on my phone, not my watch. Yeah.
This person says, steal of the draft, the Pacers may have found the missing piece can contribute from day one.
Wow, a day one contributor.
I don't believe that person in the slightest. But you never know. You just never know. Mike, what do you have going on this weekend? Because I'll be gone. I won't be able to talk to you. I can talk to you, but I just won't.
I don't really have anything planned for this weekend. Do you know what I really like to do on Saturdays?
Talk to me.
I like to get up early on Saturday mornings and go to garage sales.
That's great.
That's my life.
That's great.
And then try not to buy anything, but I don't succeed.
That sounds like my wife.
The Pacers originally selected Johnny Furphy out of the University of Kansas and then traded him to the Spurs.
That's what my late wife used to call me, Furphy.
Really?
No.
Why not? It'd be funny. What about you, David Michael Hahn? Weekend plans? Summer plans?
Well, summer plans are different than my weekend. I got a haircut tomorrow. As you can tell, I'm getting a little bushy. Not quite your level, Mike, but
hey, I was almost shaved here a while back.
Yeah, my wife doesn't prefer getting as deep as it's been going. My only real big summer plans, I'm going to Tahoe in a little while. Taking the whole fam, our first time traveling as a family on a plane. And first time any of them have been on a plane.
Are you going to be going through Fresno?
The Nevada side or the Cal side?
Just Reno. Well, we'll be on the border.
Okay.
We're going to a wedding, and we're staying on the California side, but the wedding, I believe, is on the Nevada side.
There's a bar in Nevada in Virginia City. It's a short drive. Do it.
Okay. What's it called?
Well, Virginia City's everything there, but it begins with a G. It's the oldest bar in Nevada.
Okay. I'll look it up.
And it's amazing. It's just an old west bar in the middle of nowhere.
I love that.
And then Virginia City,
It's an amazing place for people that have never thought about going there.
Yeah.
I have breaking news before we go off the air.
I'm sure it isn't.
Johnny Furphy is a Pacer.
All right.
They traded with the Spurs to get Furphy. Nunez goes to San Antonio.
So that guy that said he's a day one contributor is...
No, I think he meant Furphy.
Oh. That guy looks like he's three.
He does. I wasn't buying him. Furphy, a 6'9 sharpshooter, former Australian rules footballer.
There you go.
I thought it was rugby.
I would like to see him go up against LeBron.
And now we got him. What a steal.
We got him. Yeah, that's the pick of the draft.
Thunder took the Nikola
Topic Thunder. Topic.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I love that. Yeah. Topic Thunder. They're probably going to trade him.
Is that what they're calling him?
He's literally Alex Caruso. He's the exact same size.
Well, he's more of a ball handler than Alex Caruso.
That might be true. But yeah, we're going to Tahoe. First time the kids will fly, any of them. So that pray for us. For those that don't know, I have 3 under 4. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good time.
There you have it. I think that's our show. Mike, any final words?
Words. The word for the day is popcorn. There you go. That's the word.
I had popcorn.
There you go.
I like popcorn.
Leftover popcorn from yesterday's Wednesday popcorn day at Channel 12.
I was thinking of the
Channel 12 popcorn day is Wednesday.
I was thinking of the Poco song that did popcorn, but that's beside the point.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm out tomorrow, so... You're probably not going to listen tomorrow, so have a good weekend. Bob will be here with somebody. And
I'll be here with him.
He'll have a good time. Maybe. See ya.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.